Page 49. Access through accessibility, inclusion in the arts and media for the visually impaired, Part 4. By Rick Boggs. The entertainment industry, epitomized by Hollywood, is a complex labyrinth of people, places, and processes. Who owns who knows who, and who does what are all questions whose answers are elusive yet vital for anyone seeking a successful career in the biz. Whether one hopes for success as a performer, a specialist behind the scenes, or merely to do business with an entity in the industry, a positive result always seems to depend on being in the right place at the right time and knowing the right person. Surprisingly, this might make inroads to job opportunities for professionals with vision loss a little more obvious and accessible. Though my own diverse career in this industry did not follow the path I am about to describe, my experience and expertise as a performer and a post-production audio engineer suggests the possibility that closed captioning and audio description, CC, and AD can serve as a point of entry for people with disabilities, PWDs, seeking employment in the industry. Individuals with vision loss who are determined self-starters with good interpersonal communication skills can learn the tools of the trade and find some real opportunities for careers in accessible media services. Developing talent and a successful track record in accessible media services could provide the necessary experience and contacts to secure work in other areas of media production as well. Opportunities in accessible media. Page 50. There are at least two forms of closed captioning services. Real-time captioning essentially demands the same skill set as court reporting and requires similar training. Offline or pre-recorded captioning involves at least two steps. Initially, the audio track of the media, including dialogue and sound descriptions, is transcribed as a text document. In a second process, the text is placed on the screen in a specific way according to a time sequence. Sometimes, the two processes are not performed by the same person. The transcription portion of the work is sometimes conducted by independent contractors. Blind individuals with good listening and typing skills could certainly carry out the duties of the transcription portion of the captioning process. Currently, 100% of television programming in major markets is closed captioned, and most DVDs offer captioning as well. At least two of the large closed captioning providers are open to considering blind applicants: VITAC, www.vitac.com, and NCI, www.nciciap.org. Audio description involves many steps beyond viewing the media and writing the description script. My company, AudioEyes, developed a quality control process that ensures every product is reviewed by a QC specialist, who is also a visually impaired consumer. One or two other ad vendors have incorporated the practice as well. Obviously, opportunities for voiceover artists and audio engineers are intrinsically involved. An overview of the process could be explained this way. The media is initially digitized or imported from tape or DVD to a computer hard drive. Once the ad writer or describer has completed viewing the media and writing the script, a quality control process enables a second-sighted person to check the description for accuracy, and a professional visually impaired specialist determines the effectiveness of the description. A director conducts a recording session where an audio engineer captures the description as delivered by a voiceover artist. The audio engineer then mixes the description with the original soundtrack of the program and generates the required delivery format. Any professional with vision loss or other disability who possesses the proper skill set could develop a career in this type of work as a VO artist, an audio engineer, or a QC specialist. It is reasonable to suggest that visually impaired individuals who are also consumers of audio-described products might have an added value to employers in this field. The bad news. A thorough examination of the industry in terms of employment opportunities, page 51, and accessible products and services reveal several areas where much improvement is needed. there remains a disappointing lack of progress in areas such as legislation mandating ad for broadcast television, development of accessible cable TV boxes and media devices, and media websites compliant with accessibility standards. As was indicated in the initial article in this series, the entertainment industry has routinely ignored people with disabilities as performers, as professionals behind the camera, and as consumers. The industry continued discriminatory practices even in the face of notable advocacy efforts such as those of the Tri-Union National Committee on Employment of Performers with Disabilities, and federal legislation aimed to force the industry to address issues like employment and accessibility of products and services. Beyond page 52. Simply ignoring PWDs, the industry spent large sums of money fighting advocacy efforts to ensure inclusion of PWDs in the industry. The battles continue today. PWDs are still not included in the employment statistics gathered on the CDR, casting, and data report, which tracks employment of many other minority groups in the industry. Less than 20% of movies distributed to theaters offer audio description, and a very small percentage of theaters have the audio description delivery technology. Characters with disabilities remain grossly underrepresented in film and television, with blind characters among the least represented. There is still no forum in which to discuss the issue of actors with disabilities playing characters not written as disabled. Even though the best advocacy effort within the industry to date, the I Am PWD campaign, www.iampwd.org, has done much to raise awareness of important issues concerning performers with disabilities in the industry, trade unions themselves such as SAG and AFDRA do not yet make their own services accessible to disabled union members, e.g., compliant websites, accessible membership info, and dues statements, etc. The good news? The ongoing problematic issues that need to be addressed can become tiring, but we can find relief in some very exciting, positive news in other areas, including accessible digital recording technology, media production job skills training, and increasing numbers of audio-described movies on DVD. Tools for blind audio engineers are dramatically improving in 2010 as Digi Design, developer and distributor of Pro Tools, the industry standard audio production software, plans to release a new, accessible version of Pro Tools. The new version will eliminate most of the barriers that were created when Apple released the OS X operating system and Alva Access ceased development of Mac screen reader software. More information is available at www.protolspetition.org. At least two nonprofit organizations, The Accessible Planet, www.theaccessibleplanet.org, and People with Disabilities Broadcast Corporation, www.wdbc.org, are currently seeking funding to begin offering job skills training for PWDs in the production of accessible media. The ACB is wrapping up its first year of its initiative known as the ADP or Audio Description Project. While the initiative unfortunately did not initially commit to specific goals for employment of blind professionals, it remains as a potential open door to employment in the industry through jobs in audio description. Though, page 53, federal legislation designed to restore the mandate for broadcast audio description languishes in Congress, very few people inside the biz believe that a mandate will never occur. It is more a matter of when it will be implemented, again. Skilled and experienced blind professionals could certainly benefit from such sudden growth in the ad industry. Even without a mandate, there is some indication that major movie studios are seriously considering offering audio description in their Blu-ray DVD releases from their home video divisions. What to do? There are two major membership organizations within the industry that effectively represent all major production studios and networks. These organizations serve as the leadership for legally pushing back against our advocacy efforts. We must repeatedly let these organizations know that we, page 54, exist, and that we insist on inclusion in the industry as employees and as consumers. They are the MPAA, Motion Picture Association of America, Office of the Chairman and CEO, Washington, D.C., 1600 I Street, Northwest Washington, D.C., 20006, Maine, 202-293-1966, Fax, 202-296-7410. Los Angeles, 15301 Ventura Boulevard, Building E, Sherman Oaks, California, 91403, Maine, 818-995-6600, Fax, 818-285-4403, and AMPTP, the Alliance of Motion Picture Television Producers, 15301 Ventura Boulevard, Building E, Sherman Oaks, CA 91403, 818-995-3600. Persons with vision loss must remain vigilant in advocacy efforts if we hope to see significant change in this industry in our lifetime. As consumers, we must insist on accessible products and services, requesting them routinely whether they are currently offered or not. Notify management at retailers like Netflix and Blockbuster that we do watch movies and need access to websites and services. Notify cable TV providers like Time/Warner, Comcast, etc. that we need accessible cable boxes, websites, and billing statements. Notify management at movie theaters repeatedly that we need audio description, and remind them what this is every time we go to the cinema. As more and more media moves to the web, we must be persistent about insisting on accessible media players on websites like Hulu.com and YouTube.com, and all major TV network sites. We must persistently contact major studios like Disney, Sony, Universal, Paramount, and Time/Warner, as well as large production companies like RC Werner, Wolf Films, and Jerry Bruckheimer Television, etc., demanding that blind characters be included in film and television, and that blind performers be given equal opportunity to audition for all appropriate roles regardless of whether or not characters were conceived as visually impaired. We must pressure the talent guilds, including the Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and the Writers Guild of America, to protect the interests of their visually impaired members, as they do for other minority groups. Occasionally I am asked why advocacy in the entertainment industry is so important to me. For example, why fight for equal employment opportunities for blind actors, when there may be very few individuals who could benefit from such work? The answer lies in the power that media has to influence public perceptions. If the dominant force in our, page 55, society responsible for shaping common beliefs and opinions deliberately ignores or shuts out people with disabilities, or blind people specifically, and if that same dominant influence portrays people with vision loss inaccurately or poorly, then all individuals who are visually impaired will continue to experience uninformed, negative attitudes in society, which close doors of opportunity and effectively oppress and relegate us to second-class citizens. Advocacy in the media and entertainment industry on every front, from employment to product accessibility and accessible services, may be the advocacy work that has the greatest potential impact for all people who are blind or visually impaired.